without a solid job of framing up, the house is not going to have a good shot at lasting very long, is it? And it's the same way in our lives. We've been talking in the past few weeks, as we finished up last week, the series on what the Bible says about heaven, hell, angels, and the afterlife, as we talked about the afterlife and the rewards that we can see and the relationship between the way we live our lives today and the rewards that we can one day anticipate in eternity. We talked about the fact that my behavior determines how I will spend eternity. The decisions that I make today, the choices that I make, will drive how I spend a time that I could never even begin to understand or to fathom. And how can we begin building on that principle, that fact that my behavior drives how I'm going to spend eternity? I really believe that this was the core of Jesus' message, I believe. How we can today make investments in eternity, and how we can move forward, and how we can be assured of God's maximum blessing, God's maximum rewards, in eternity. And I want to take you to a passage that many of you, this may be very familiar for many of you. And Jesus was in those days, that week right before he was crucified. And we find this story that he told, and I'm sure he told it multiple times, but Matthew records it in chapter 25 of his gospel, and it begins in verse 14. And we know this story is the parable of the talents, or the parable of the bags of gold. A number of different words go to describe or to give title to this particular parable. But I want to read it for you. If you got your Bibles, you want to go with me. I'm reading in the New Living Translation. In Matthew chapter 25, beginning at verse 14. And let's look at Jesus' words. Jesus said again, "The kingdom of heaven can be illustrated by the story of a man going on a trip. He called together his servants and gave them money to invest for him while he was gone. He gave 5 bags of gold to one, 2 bags of gold to another, and 1 bag of gold to the last, dividing it in proportion to their abilities, and then left on his trip. The servant who received the 5 bags of gold began immediately to invest the money and soon doubled it. The servant with 2 bags of gold also went right to work and doubled the money. But the servant who received the 1 bag of gold dug a hole in the ground and hid the master's money for safekeeping. After a long time, their master returned from his trip and called them to give an account of how they had used his money. The servant to whom he had entrusted the 5 bags of gold said, 'Sir, you've given me 5 bags of gold to invest, and I've doubled the amount.' The master was full of praise. 'Well done, my good and faithful servant. You've been faithful in handling the small amount, so now I will give you many more responsibilities. Let's celebrate together.' Next came the servant who had received the 2 bags of gold with the report, 'Sir, you gave me 2 bags of gold to invest, and I've doubled the amount.' The master said, 'Well done, my good and faithful servant. You've been faithful in handling this small amount, so now I will give you many more responsibilities. Let's celebrate together.' Then the servant with the 1 bag of gold came and said, 'Sir, I know you're a hard man, harvesting crops you didn't plant and gathering crops you didn't cultivate. I was afraid I would lose your money, so I hid it in the earth. And here it is.' But the master replied, 'You wicked and lazy servant. You think I'm a hard man, do you? Harvesting crops I didn't plant, gathering crops that I didn't cultivate? Well, you should at least have put my money into the bank so that I would have some interest. Take the money from this servant and give it to the one with the 10 bags of gold. To those who use well what they are given, even more will be given, and they will have an abundance. But for those who are unfaithful, even what little they have will be taken away. Now, throw this useless servant into outer darkness, where there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth." This parable is all about a term that, to be honest with you, is kind of churchy. I tried to find another word that I could use, but I really couldn't. And that term is stewardship. Stewardship is a term we use to describe what the master did here. He entrusted the assets in his possession to others. He delegated to them responsibility for maximizing the investments while he was away on a trip. And so the definition of stewardship, and this is something we're going to be talking about in the next couple of 3 weeks as we dig into this passage a little deeper, and you can find this on your outline. Stewardship simply means the productive management of something entrusted to me. Now, what's the operative word in that phrase? Productive. You see, we manage many things, but do we truly manage all those things productively? God requires, and if you perhaps you noticed, that God put himself in this story. As Jesus told this parable, it was pretty obvious that as he was about to go away, that he was the one in the parable. He was the owner who was about to go away and was about to delegate his kingdom, was about to delegate his work to those who had worked alongside him, the disciples, for three and a half years. And so the question is, what does this mean to us today? In the parable, we saw, as the master came back, we saw the depiction of three different types of stewards, three different types of managers. The first one we'll refer to as the five. The five was the one who the master was able to entrust great resources to. And he pretty much proved that trust by doubling the investment. The two was the one who was entrusted still, but not quite as much as the one who'd been given five. Perhaps the experience and the abilities were not quite there with the one given two, as would be the case with the one given five. And then the one, the master knew enough up front only to entrust one bag to this individual. And certainly enough, in the story, this one individual proved again the wisdom of the master. Unfortunately, his fate turned out to be tragic, while the fate of the five and the two turned out to be celebratory. I believe that it's God's will for all those who claim to follow him to grow into being fives. I think a two is great. It's a good place to start. But if you're a two, God does not want you to stay there. God wants you and me, each of us, to be fives. He wants us to be investment managers, stewards, that will take whatever he entrusts us with, that being our time, our energy, our relationships, our finances, our possessions. And he wants us to double it for the sake of his kingdom. Well, as we've been talking about some of the things like rewards, and as we've acknowledged some people today who have gone all out to give so much in the kingdom of God, and so many other people beyond the folks that we recognize this morning who give faithfully, who give regularly, who sacrifice and who do so many different things within the context of our church and the ministries and outside our church. We see them and we wonder, what is it? What is it that leads us to the point at which I can really give? Well, I believe that this framework of life is important. And I'm going to share with you something today that many of you that were at our mini conference back in January have seen before. It's a model. It's a way of thinking. It's something that's called a paradigm, which is basically nothing more than a nice word that says a way of thinking, a way of looking at something that I hope will help you, because we talk a lot about life vision. We talk a lot about life plan. We talk a lot about the fact that God has a wonderful plan for you and da-da-da. You know, and what was the old thing, you know, God loves you and I have a wonderful plan for your life kind of thing. You know, I've heard people, you know, kind of joke around, God loves you and has a wonderful plan for your life. He does. That's true. But, you know, how do I get to it? You see, I believe that God is not a God who would have a plan for you and not let you in on what it is. Does that make sense? I mean, I think that it's, if it's something there, if we truly believe that God's got something for me, he wants me to know what it is. Otherwise, how am I going to fulfill it? Isn't that the problem in many companies today? Those at the top have a plan, but somehow or another, it hardly ever gets to the people who need to make it happen, right? I don't think God works that way. He doesn't. So I want to take you today through a five-step process or a five-level process very quickly. And just a related story, I had to meet Friday with a friend, Thursday and Friday, with a friend. Some of you may have remembered me telling you about my good friend about a year and a half ago who is in his mid-30s, a pastor who lost his wife to cancer back in September a couple years ago. And we met with this gentleman, a good friend of mine, to try to help him figure out what's next. And he had some ideas, and he wanted to put it, get it in such a way that he could get his teeth around it and get moving. And the facilitator who was supposed to be there for the event didn't show up for whatever reason. And so I kind of asked him, I said, well, do you mind if we take this paradigm that I'm talking about today and apply it to you? And he said, no, please, let's do something. And for about 5 or 6 hours, we did that, what we're going to share with you today, and we're going to talk about a little bit more tonight at Family Chat from a broader church context. And we worked with this gentleman, and he came away with something that he said, now I know where to go. Now I know what I need to be about. So let me take you through these five levels very quickly. I want you to write, and we're going to give you some examples, some stuff that are not on the screen, that are not on your outline, but they will. Some of them will be on the screen, some of them will not be. So I'm going to talk fast, and I already am, and I'm getting tongue-tied, so I better get moving. We are designed to live life at five levels. We're designed to live life at least five levels. This is a biblical model. First of all, purpose. What is the purpose of your life and my life? Have you ever asked the question, why am I here? Many of you have read Rick Warren's book on the purpose-driven life. It talks a lot about purpose in life, isn't it? What is purpose? Purpose is simply can be defined as the overriding biblical mandate to follow Christ. For you and I, it's the same thing. There is a biblical mandate that you and I are under if we are Christ followers to, guess what? Follow Christ. Isn't that pretty much the definition of a Christ follower? To follow Christ, to follow Him and do what He does, to obey, to learn, and to branch out and do the things that He wants us to do. Well, this purpose is, as Warren so eloquently notes in his book, is pretty much wrapped up in two major passages. Many of you will find these passages very familiar, and I want you to, and because of that, I want us to read them in unison together, all right? I'm feeling like I'm back at my church when I grew up in, when we used to do the reading together. So let's do it together. Go to your outline, and let's read these two passages of scriptures out loud. First is the Great Commandment, where Jesus was quoting from the book of Deuteronomy and in Matthew chapter 22. And let's read that together to kind of get an idea of what our purpose is. If you read with me from your outline. You must love the Lord your God with all your heart, all your soul, and all your mind. This is the first and greatest commandment. A second is equally important. Love your neighbor as yourself. Pretty heavy stuff, huh? Love God with everything I have. Now, when he talks about, you know, love God with all your heart, your soul, and all your mind, that pretty much wraps up everything about me that is emotional or that is going to make decisions or that is going to drive me toward doing something. Let's read the second one, which is from the Great Commission. Jesus spoke these words right before he went to go into heaven after his resurrection. So let's read that together from Matthew 28, 19 and 20. Therefore, go and make disciples of all the nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. Teach these new disciples to obey all the commands I have given you. You see, that's a life purpose that you and I, as Christ followers, share. My life purpose is really no different than yours. It's wrapped up right there. And if we can grasp that, and if we can understand that this is the overriding ideal that God has for you and I, then we can move on to the second level of life. What is that second level? Once I understand my purpose, I've got to understand the fact that God has for me a vision. There's a life vision that He has for me. And what's the definition of a vision? I'll give you this. It's a compelling picture that depicts what could and should be in the future. Now, what does compelling mean? It means it grabs my attention. It grabs my attention. It's a compelling picture that depicts what could and should be in the future. Here's the operative question. The operative question for my purpose has to do is, why am I here? Here's the second question that deals with vision. Where am I going? Where am I going with my life? What road am I traveling? Am I traveling the right road? And do I know where it's going to take me? Now, I want you to go with me to Jeremiah chapter 29. Here, the prophet was writing to Israel, and he was talking about, and to the nation, about the fact that as God was speaking through him, God was saying, look, you're going to be in captivity. You know, look, you're going to feel abandoned. You're going to feel stressed out. But he writes in Jeremiah 29:11, for I know the plans I have for you, says the Lord. They are plans for good and not for disaster, to give you a future and a hope. Now, that's a pretty awesome promise. As is with every verse in the Bible, we can take a personal application. God says, I know the plans I have for you. They are plans for good. They are plans not to hurt you, not for disaster. I want you to understand that you have a future. And I want you to understand that you have a hope. Now, again, I really believe that if God truly has a plan for me, the last thing he wants to do is conceal it from me. How am I going to know what steps to take? How am I going to know what plans I need to carry out? Now, let's talk about vision for just a second. Visionary horizons, the ability to see future. And I'm not talking about New Age stuff or crystal balls or anything like that, okay? I'm talking about a God-given ability to anticipate what he wants from me and to understand my makeup and who I am and to live forward with a purpose and with a vision, a picture in mind. These visionary horizons will be different for different people. Someone might be able to see, I can see about 1 year ahead. That's about it for me. Some others can say, well, you know, it's about 20 or 25 years for me. You know, I've got a pretty big imagination. I'm a pretty big dreamer. And you know, whatever your horizon is, that's okay, because God didn't make us all with the same visionary horizon. Just because you're saying, man, I can't even think past tomorrow, much less 5 years from now or 10 years from now, don't feel badly about that. But more on that a little bit later. Another thing about vision is that vision will enlarge as we move forward, as we intentionally pursue God's vision for our lives and living it out. You know what? God's going to expand that horizon. Many of us today, our lives are characterized by living so much in the moment that we cannot even see or begin to appreciate what God has beyond the moment. Well, here's three things about my vision, very important things. Number one, it reflects my uniqueness. First of all, my vision reflects my uniqueness. Now, keep in mind, the purpose, as defined with the Great Commission and the Great Commandment, is the same for me as it is for Janice. It's the same for me as it is for Conrad. It's the same for me as it is with Steve. But guess what? All four of us have different visions because we are unique. Your life vision is going to be unique to who God created you to be. Nobody else can claim your vision. You can't copy anybody else's paper because God has it directly for you. Secondly, vision comes gradually. I doubt any of us were born with a life vision in mind. We had to go through experiences. We had to go through schools of hard knocks. We had to go through successes and failures to get to where we are today, to even see, to have a perspective on life like God wants us to have. Finally, my vision will always positively impact others. The life vision will always positively impact others. If your life vision is such that it does not have a positive impact on other people directly, then that vision's not from God. God gives you a life vision not so much for your benefit, but for the benefit of those around you and for those that you will touch, those that you will influence. Now, here's what I want you to do. I want you to think for a moment based on what I've just said. And I know some of you might be sitting there thinking, maybe you're already asleep and you just have your eyes open looking at me to make me feel good, right? That may be you. Or maybe I've lost you. I don't know. Or maybe you found something to grab onto here. Here's what I'd like for you to do. I want you to think about your life. And I want you to think about, as I've been talking about this, as God's been speaking to you, I want you to write down just a little phrase that might give a clue to a little piece, maybe, of that picture that God might have for you. No matter how small you might think it is, it's a step, a nugget, a granule, you might say. I want you to write it down on your outline for you and your eyes only. Take about 20 seconds and write down something, what I'm going to call a vision, a visionary PowerPoint, you might say, or a picture point that you can think of with regard to a big picture in your life. Take about 20 seconds, and I'll shut up and take a drink right now. Water, that is. Okay, let me give you an example of what somebody might say, or what some of you may have answered something like this. This is a legitimate example of what I will call a vision PowerPoint, or picture point, excuse me. Let's look at it. A life known for helping develop children to fulfill their full potential as children. Someone might say, that's part of my life vision. That's part of who I am. Matter of fact, some of you might, yeah, that sounds pretty good to me. I think I'll adopt that. Don't do that. You're unique. You're unique. Discover your own. Okay? All right, so that's just an example. Keep that in mind. We'll come back to it. The third level of life that God wants us to live at is a missional level, or at the level of mission. God wants us to understand what mission is all about. God allows us to have purpose. He gives us a life vision, and as a part of that vision, He gives us a mission, or multiple missions. What is a mission? Well, a mission is defined as what must be done in order for to help what is to be to come to pass. Here's what I mean by that. That compelling picture in the vision, guess what? You got to do something in order to make that picture come to reality. How many of you watch television? We got a lot of liars in here, I'm telling you. Y'all need something more than what I can give you today, I guess. When you see a commercial on a television or in an ad, an advertisement in a publication, what does it do? It presents usually what? An image, a picture, right? Something that is enticing, something that is going to make you want to happen to you, whatever it is in that picture. And then if they're any good at marketing, those developers of the advertising are going to then tell you how you can do what you need to do in order to make that picture happen in your life, right? The way God deals with us is not a whole lot different, to be honest with you. He allows us to capture a vision, and then He says, all right, this is what you've got to do in order to get there. This is what's got to happen in order for that picture to come to pass. Here's the question. What will I need to do to get there? That's the operative question. Philippians 3:12. I love what Paul says here. And by the way, just because Paul wrote this, many people look at Paul's writing and say, well, that was just Paul's stuff. That was his ramblings. It doesn't mean anything to me. Uh-uh. Don't ever think that. This verse that Paul wrote is just as much for you and I as it was and is for him. Philippians 3:12, Paul says, I don't mean to say that I've already achieved anything or that I've already achieved perfection or reached perfection, but I keep working toward that day. Circle on your outline, I keep working toward that day when I will finally, circle finally, be all that Christ Jesus saved me for and wants me to be. Paul understands the concept of mission. He understands that a focus, moving ahead, and what is the visionary picture that Paul sees? All that God wants me to be. See, that's different from me than it is for you. That's why I say you can't copy my paper, I can't copy yours. All right, now let me ask you a question. What is this mission thing all about? Let me give you a picture, an example, all right? And some of you have heard this, but I'm gonna throw it out again. How many of you remember the old Mission Impossible television series? Not the movies, but the television series. Okay, what would happen at the first every week in the show? Tape recording would do what? Would reveal what? The mission. All right, Peter Graves and company would receive the mission. All right, then what would happen after he heard it? Self-destruct. What would happen by the end of the show? Mission accomplished. What would happen at the beginning of the next week? Another tape and a new mission. What are the lessons we can learn? A mission has an action orientation. A mission is actionable. It's not passive. It's not passive. It's all about doing something, going forward with intentionality. Intentionality toward what? Making that picture come to reality. Secondly, a mission must have a completion point. No, it's not death. That's not the completion point of your mission. You will have varying and different missions as you move through life. Your life circumstances change. Guess what? The nature of your mission in life is going to change. The aging of your children is going to affect that. The aging of you, vocational changes, geographical changes, anything that could be stressful could refocus your mission a little bit. Missions are action-oriented, and they have a completion point. Here's what I want you to do. I want you to come up with a potential missional course. I want you to say something about, as it applies to you, something that would need to be done in your life that you have to do on a broad basis in order to see that picture I asked you about under the previous point come to pass. That's what I want you to do, a potential missional course. What is this? Something you can write down, something that's action-oriented, that has a completion point, that will move you toward fulfillment of the piece of that picture that you wrote under the previous point. Take about 20 seconds. Just a little piece. Just want to help you get a clue here with regard to how to do this and to the magnitude of the exercise. Happens every time when we do one of these silent things, doesn't it? Okay. A group of friends went deer hunting together, and they paired off in twos for the days, for the day. That night, one of the hunters returned alone, staggering under the weight of an 8-point buck. "Where's Henry, your partner?" the others asked. "Well, Henry had a stroke of some kind. He's laying back there unconscious a few miles back up the trail." "You left Henry laying out there and you carried the deer back?" they inquired. The hunter said, "Well, it was a tough call, but I figured that no one's going to try to steal Henry." Now, you know, we get into those situations, maybe with different circumstances, but we oftentimes fall into situations where we don't know what to do, or we're faced with a tough decision. And which way do we go? How do I go about making decisions? That's what the fourth level of life is all about, and that's the strategy. Once I have an idea of my purpose, I understand that, I understand my vision, I get a handle on my mission, now I got to figure out what's the strategy. We kind of use these terms interchangeably a lot when we think about them. Maybe in your workplace you hear these terms, and they may mean totally something totally different in that context. But what is strategy? What is it really all about? Well, while a mission is a broad course of action, a strategy is a more focused plan for action. It's a little more focused. All right, a little more focused. The operative question is this: how will I do what needs to be done? The operative word there is what? How. It's how. How will I do it? That's what a strategy is all about. Now, I love what the writer of the Proverbs wrote here. He wrote, "We can make our plans, but the Lord determines our steps." See, God advocates strategy. He advocates us trying to figure out, using the wisdom He's given us, what He wants us to do. Now, you know, I hate church signs. I mean, I know they're fun to read, but I just hate them because messages like this just give them all a bad name for me. And if I ever say, let's put a sign out with a slogan on it, y'all shoot me, okay? Here's what it says, and I got to go by this place all the time to get to my house. Now, you're right out there this afternoon, so you'll try to find it. I'm not going to tell you which direction. You get to my house many different ways. This is what it says. If you want to hear God laugh, tell Him your plans. You guess what? If I'm an unchurched person, I really want to go to that church now, don't I? That's really turned me on to a God who really loves me. God's going to ridicule me and laugh at me when He understands what my plans are. That is not real theology. Make God laugh. God gives us wisdom to follow Him and to detect what it is He wants us to do. God does not want us to be robots. And that's why in this part of life called strategy, and we got to figure out how to do things, God gives us wisdom. He doesn't want us in the dark. Well, here's some key questions to identifying strategic opportunities in your life. Look at that mission, the actionable statement that we talked about a minute ago. And by the way, let's go back, Tim, to the slide where we filled in with the green part under a potential missional course. Let's go back to the person who says, I want my life characterized for helping develop children to fulfill their full potential as children. Now, if we go back to look at what the potential missional course might be for that particular vision aspect, I know he's looking for it because I skipped it a while ago. I messed up, Tim. I'm sorry. go to the next one. It should be another one down there that says a missional, a potential missional course. Do you see that one? Okay, there we go. Now, in order to make that first thing happen, this is what I would need to do. This is an example of the mission: to influence children by helping them develop healthy spiritual, ethical, and moral values. It's more action-oriented, isn't it? I will do what I'll do this through parenting relationships, volunteer work, and vocational work. Now I'm getting a little traction around this thing. I've got this vision about developing children. Now I'm talking about ways that I'm going to make it happen. Then we get into the strategic type stuff. Now, what would a strategy look like? Let's leave that one up there for a moment, Tim. What would a potential strategic focus look like? Well, I might want to, and you can go to this one. It's a little further down, Tim. I want to complete my college education with an associate's degree in early childhood education. That's a strategy. That leads me to the how to, it answers the how-to question. That's one of the things I've got to do in order to do this. I want to serve on the children's ministry team at my church on a regular basis with direct involvement with the children. And finally, maybe I want to pursue a non-teaching elementary school position that will move me into the arena of education and afford me a better opportunity for a full teaching position. Those are valid strategies. The how-to. Let me tell you how to get to a strategy. Figure out what the obstacles and the barriers would be that would prevent you from being successful. When you identify the barriers, that gives you a clear clue around which you need to develop strategies. How do I break down these obstacles? How do I break down these barriers? Here's the second thing. Ask the question, what opportunities are there right now for me? Here, what is the low-hanging fruit? What can I get to quickly? What can I do right now that's going to give me, I love this term, the biggest bang for the buck? That's what you develop strategies around. Because as you move through trying to be successful and fulfilling God's purpose for your life, you want to have successes. You want to put yourself into a position to where you can be successful. What are some of the things that I can do now to gain momentum? We talked about that some last week when we were talking about rewards. Well, finally, the fifth level, and we're not going to talk about this today other than to say this, tactics. Tactics, basically, are things that are less about planning and more about execution. This is the point at which we just say, just do it. Just do it. You understand your purpose. You understand your vision. You understand your mission. You understand the strategies. And now you know what? You just go do it. You go do it. And here's the operative questions that we deal with. What will I do today? Today, literally today. Not today as in tomorrow, next week, but today, Sunday, May the 20th. What will I do today? And here's the second question, who will I partner with? Because I don't believe God ever, for any of us, intended for us to live out this journey on a solo basis. I really believe that He intended for us to do it together. Ephesians 2:10. For we are God's masterpiece. He has created us anew in Christ Jesus so that we can do all the good things He planned for us long ago. There's the just do it verse in the Bible. We are God's masterpiece. And you know what? That's something you should repeat over and over and over. I am God's masterpiece. I am God's masterpiece. I am God's masterpiece. I am God's masterpiece. Emphasize a different part of the sentence every time until it really becomes internalized to you. It's not what I didn't say that. You didn't say that. God's Word says that. But we only live out the role as God's masterpiece if we live out the purpose, the vision, the mission, the strategies, and the tactics that He has ordained for us. So how do we keep all this in front of us on a day-to-day basis? How do we keep focused and keep adding to the vision as God gives us clarity? Well, Chuck Ainsworth, who you've heard from already today, has developed a tool, a one-page tool that we think can give some help and some clarity to you. And so I want to ask him to come and tell you about that and how you can get a hold of it.
Y'all know the KISS strategy? What's KISS stand for? Keep it simple, stupid. How many of you guys ascribe to that philosophy? All right, that's what I'm going to try to do in the next couple minutes. Okay, you got all this great stuff that Bud has just explained to you, but if you're like me, you're like, yeah, I'm right here with you, and by the time I get to my car, it's a whole jarbled up kind of mess, right? I've used this tool and a tool very similar to it to work with literally dozens of people, working with them one-on-one to help them get all this stuff on paper. And this has been a powerful tool in my own personal life. I wish I had time to tell you how huge this has been for me. I'm not the kind of guy who journals. How many of you guys like to journal? For whatever reason, never me. How many? How many of you journal?
Kelly journals.
Wow, there's only like
Beth journals, 3 or 4. Bill
okay.
journals.
For the rest of us illiterates or whatever our issue is, I just can't journal. But this has kind of been a journal in a sense to me. As God reveals things to me and gives me clarity about the vision that He has for my life, I jot it down on here. And a lot of times it's just like one word or maybe it's a bullet point. And it doesn't all come at once, but I would challenge all of you to take this and just maybe sometime this afternoon or in the next week when you've got time to grab a coffee and sit on your porch or go to a local coffee shop, just start trying to jot down what's already clear. Jot down whichever category seems fairly simple and doable to you and start there. And then I've had a lot of fun sharing this with some friends and getting feedback and talking through this. And I personally update this about once a month. About once a month, I'll print it off, I'll go somewhere where I can think clear, and I'll just kind of edit it and pray through it and ask God to give me another piece of the puzzle. And I write that down. And you know, one of the most powerful uses I've found for something like this is when I have a day that's just cruddy, when everything goes wrong and life is fuzzy and you're doubting your existence and all that kind of big stuff, I go back to this and I'm like, yes, this is what God has made clear to me at this point. I've got lots of questions, but this is what's clear. And it's been really powerful to have that and to just kind of listen for the voice of God speaking to me month after month through His scripture and through trusted friends who are Christ followers and to write it down. And so what we're going to do is we're going to put this on the internet, on our website, and you can download it in a Word document. You can make it your own. If you're like me, if you're a computer kind of savvy person, you can type it all in there and print it out and kind of work through it like that. And I want to challenge you to make it your own. You can change some of the categories. You're not trying to fill in the blanks here. What you want is a one-page tool, a summary that's an ongoing working document. It's dynamic. It's not, you get it all figured out and then you frame it and put it, in your living room. It's probably not going to be that clear. But for me, it is something that it begins to be clearer and clearer as time goes on. And I usually almost always have this with me, tucked into my book bag, which I carry with me all over the place. And every once in a while, I'll just take a few minutes to go back to it. Okay, what's God showing me now? Where's God leading me? Does that make sense? Does that seem doable?
So do we have hard copies of those that they can
get? Yeah, you should have a hard copy stuffed in your bulletin. And that's a great way to start. Just start jotting down some of the stuff that's clear. And when you get stuck, find somebody who knows you well and talk each other through it. And we also, those of you who have engaged a spiritual life coach, you know that a coach can be a powerful influence in your life as you kind of work through this. And a coach is trained to ask you questions to help gain clarity on each of these issues. The other thing, a couple of you guys went through our Life Vision workshop where we did something like this. And we're going to offer that again probably...
As soon as you get back.
August-ish. Something like that.
As soon as you get back.
And we've got some videos. And why don't y'all just come to Cambodia? I'm doing it there. This is one of the tools I use with the missionaries and the people in ministry. And, the Bible tells us that without vision, what happens?
People perish.
People perish. And you know that experientially. You know when you have a day where there is no clarity, how do you feel? Lousy. Completely lacking energy. Completely lacking passion. But on those days where you are clear about what God is calling you to do, you're energized, you're passionate, you're engaged, and you're also less easily distracted. And that's my hope with this tool, and I pray that it would be useful in your life as it has been in mine.
Great. Thanks, Chuck. Thanks. Take this. Use it. It'll be on the website this week, and we'll do what Chuck does. Make it your own. I have a format very similar to this that I use. Whatever you use, use something that is going to put you in the middle of discovering God's plan and living it out in your life. Again, as we started out earlier, therefore go and make disciples of all the nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and the Holy Spirit. Teach these new disciples to obey all the commands I've given you. Folks, we believe that what we have shared with you today or a process like it is at the very core of helping you to become a disciple of Jesus Christ. We really don't believe, as time goes on, and I get more and more convinced of this, and you've heard me say this over the years, but I hope I say it with more and more passion every time I say it, because I'm becoming more and more convinced of this, that we can never become the disciples that God intended us to be without a true self-awareness of who He wants me to be and who He's created me to be. I look around in the room and I see some folks who right now I know are on some neat journeys. I see some husband and wife couples who are doing this type thing that just Chuck just told you about together. They may be using different angles and different techniques and different ways of hearing from God, but you know they're doing it. They're making some hard choices. They're making some sacrifices so that they can position themselves to be right where God wants them to be for the home stretch of their lives. And I think that's an incredible thing. And I think that all of us, God is calling all of us to a deeper understanding of what that might look like in our own lives. Here, just real three quick points as we close. Everybody gets it. You're going to resonate in one or two of these levels that we talked about. You're going to be able to see, but you're not going to be able to figure out what to do. You're going to be able to, you know, figure out how, but you're not going to really be able to get a big picture. This is where, as Chuck talked about, one of our spiritual life coaches would be very helpful to you. The broader your perspective, the greater the potential for kingdom impact. I really think that God wants all of us to have an ever-expanding view of life. Our world view, as we call it, needs to grow. And we need to understand how we fit in to that picture of what God wants. And finally, your perspective can broaden through practice. The more you work this, the more you take what Chuck has given you today, for example, and the longer you work with this, you're going to become broader as you work through this. Here's the point. God wants you to be a five. He wants you to be a five. Twos are nice. Two got a very good assessment in the story that Jesus told. I really believe God wants you and me, all of us, as fives. Most believers or alleged believers today live life without direction. They are too covered up in things that happen to them in such a way that they have no idea how to make things happen for them and for the benefit of the kingdom of God. Who are you? Are you a person who things just happen to you? Or do you make things happen for the furtherance of the kingdom of God? That's the question that we need to deal with. Let's pray. Father, thank you for this story about the three managers and the owner that I think really gives us as clear a picture as any into the relationship that you want us to have with you. Father, I ask you now to touch all of us in a way that we can get a real feel for what we've been talking about today. And Lord, I know that it's been tough maybe to listen to, and some of it's kind of pie in the sky kind of stuff for a lot of people. But yet, it's something that you want us to get our arms around, because we've got to understand the plan that you have for us and to move into it and live into it. We've got to learn how to become stewards that are productive managers of your resources. Thank you for entrusting what you have entrusted to us. Father, as we go back out into family life and into work life and into hobby life and into relational life, and God, I just want to ask you right now to give us more clarity and give us a commitment to seek that vision that you have for us and to move into it. Father, help us today to just simply desire to do your will for our lives. Help us to remember that your will is not a dot-to-dot coloring book, but it's rather a range. Help us not to get bogged down in the dot-to-dot ideas that we have about who you are, but to remember that you're a glorious God, a grand God, a God who loves us so much that there is nothing we can do to make you love us any more than you already do. Go with us now and help us to take this message into our lives and to impact the world around us, because that's what a life vision is all about. For it's in Christ's name that we pray. Amen. Thanks for being here today. Real quickly, just want to ask you to please come to the family chat tonight. I'd love for you to be there. We've got a lot of good stuff to talk about. I want to hear back from you. As you leave today, don't forget to drop the integrity cards, the connection cards, and the offerings you have in the boxes in the back. Please don't forget that. If you've got a few minutes, we would love to set up for tonight. So if we have some muscles, we'd love to bring some tables out, take up chairs, and get set up for tonight. So we'll be right in here with the covered dish. Try to get here about 5:15, and we will get going. So anybody that's got muscles want to help us out, y'all just come on up toward the front, and we'll get going taking up chairs. Thanks. God bless. Have a wonderful day. Bye-bye. By the way, you can still give blood down at the Bloodmobile. And, oh yeah, clean off Chuck's craft table. He wants all the crafts gone, so make a stop back there so that we can take care of that. Thanks. God bless. Have a great day.